This morning, we are tickled to welcome Catherine LaFleur to the phone lines this morning to talk to us a little bit about Duluth's Sister Cities International program. Duluth has sister cities in Japan, Russia, Iraqi Kurdistan, Canada, and Sweden. And there are some events coming up, including an event celebrating the International Day of Peace this afternoon, when it looks like the sun will be shining and things will be a little bit nice. Catherine, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about how the Sister Cities program works.
So in a nutshell, our program exists just to connect people, really to promote the idea that diplomacy and peacemaking is a grassroots organization. We have to come together as people, connect with other people, and really learn about the similarities so that we can get over this fear of all the differences that we may carry. With that, our nonprofit really serves as the facilitator for those connections. So we host these delegate exchanges and even exchanges outside of the human aspect. We do art exchanges. We do exchanges that focus on music, on professional development, on a lot of different things, really just making sure that we are showing our community all of the ways that we can be enriched by the connections that we make with others across our world.
There's going to be this afternoon, in recognition, commemoration of the International Day of Peace, there's going to be the Duluth community is going to gather at the Japanese Peace Bell Garden in Enger Park to celebrate this afternoon from 4:30 to 7:30. It's going to be kind of a fun community event. But I guess I'm interested in the role of sister cities in our current climate. When many of America's traditional partners are looking at America askance, and when there seems to be a movement, not just in America, but in many countries, as you kind of touched on, to fear people who are different and to want to push back against people who are different. Talk about how it strikes me that sister cities could be even more relevant now than they've been in the last 30 years.
You've really just nailed it. Just looking at our most recent sister city in Iraqi Kurdistan, Rania's sister city began kind of as a friendship agreement. That's normally how these things kind of progress. And it was just brought to our attention that, you know, there are people here who are looking to connect with the greater world. There are people here who want to tell their story. They want to meet other people, and they want to help use that connection to build themselves and offer what they can in return. And it was at a time where no one really wanted to even talk about Iraq, to go to Iraq. It was something that was in the news in such, you know, a negative light, that when we're able to do these delegations, and even when the political climate doesn't allow for in-person delegations, but, you know, trying to look at the scope of what can we do to make sure that we're still connecting with these people, such as, you know, virtual exchanges or looking at a pen pal program, just to make sure that we are connecting the people, because, again, that is, the root of all of this, so that they can hear about, you know, this person in Rania's family. They can hear about their job, about their studies, and that's where we connect, right? Where we see in this other person's story a glimpse of ourselves, and we can relate, and we can see the humanity and acknowledge that above any kind of difference that may carry on the surface.
So when the Sister Cities program is doing its work now, when you're reaching out to people, when you're planning a fun community event here in our community, when you're talking to people one-on-one about, hey, I can set you up with a pen pal, that sort of thing, does the conversation take on an urgency that perhaps it didn't before?
I think so, yeah. We exist as a nonprofit, and in such a community as ours, a lot of nonprofits are all trying to find ways to stay relevant, right? Because we rely on that support to continue our mission, to continue in our operations. And so now, outside of just that piece, we are definitely trying to bring to the table the narrative of hope. You know, at the end of the day, these connections serve as hope that we can overcome the fears and, you know, really, I mean, just the fear mongering that we often kind of fall into these days, because everyone is nervous and people maybe shy away from reaching out to those who they are not already close to. And we really want to stress the fact that that's really just counterproductive. We want to keep the conversation going, keep the dialogue open, and continue telling people that, you know, we're here to serve you, to help you, and to bring the world to you if you so choose.
Catherine, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll get a link set up so folks can find the information about some upcoming events. There's, of course, the event that is coming up on Friday. There is a delegation from our sister city in Sweden that we'll be visiting beginning on Sunday. And we'll get, as I mentioned, some links up on the webpage so it will be easy for folks to connect and to find some more information. Catherine, thanks again.
Thank you. And Lisa, if I could just interject one last bit. We did look at the forecast, and Anger Tower, while beautiful, maybe a little bit inhospitable this morning, or this afternoon, rather. And we are hoping that folks will join us down at the other Peace Bell, hosted in the Deck Concourse at the Deck Arena.
Okay.
And they can just mention that they're there for the Sister City International Day of Peace celebration, and they should have no problem finding us.
All right. And so we'll make sure that we have that correction front and center also, because we want people to go to the right spot.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Catherine. Catherine LaFleur joined us this morning. She's the Director of Operations of Duluth Sister Cities International.